right, it is the PMRC corner for today, and it is Thursday, the 5th of April 2018. The head of monitoring and evaluation from PMRC, Mr. Akawondo Kavitani. Well, what has been the progress in achieving, you know, the stated objectives in the energy sector, and what are the prospects going into the future?
Thank you very much. I'm sure you're well aware that PMRC, I think, did a lot of work in the area of trying to reform subsidies in the electricity sector. And this came on the backdrop of a 2017 national budget pronouncement when the government announced the plan, of course, to move towards cost-reflective tariffs by the end of 2017. So you will see also that this entailed removing subsidies which currently allowed ZESCO, I think, to charge consumers less than the cost of producing and distributing electricity based on estimates. At the moment, of course, we have a cost of service study that is currently going on. And in the current economic context and faced with, I think, large budget deficits and as well as economic recovery programs, we needed to move towards cost-reflective tariffs so that we reduced the burden on the treasury, as well as, of course, knowing very well that subsidies have the potential to crowd in investment in the energy sector. We also noted that we needed to create additional generation capacity. So PMRC set out to answer how government could introduce cost-reflective tariffs while adequately protecting, I think, the poorest Zambians, as well as SMEs, and also ensure that price increases are sustainable so that we don't end up with future reversals. We set out, I think, some policy recommendations that flowed from this analysis by PMRC, and we also made a few recommendations based on this. Learning, of course, from international experience, we had highlighted, I think, a few key lessons that we thought the government could take on board. These included making tariff reform part of a comprehensive reform plan that includes a clear commitment to improve generation. We also recommended that we have a clear communication strategy with transparent access to information. This was meant to enhance the success of the program. We also had advised government, of course, to take the approach of phasing in energy price increases and doing it over a slightly longer period of time, combining tariff reform with improvements in efficiency of state-owned enterprises. You may well be aware that when we embarked on tariff reform, the Energy Regulation Board had waived the key performance indicators for ZESCO to allow ZESCO to increase tariffs without meeting those key performance indicators. So it's important, of course, that we go back to review the efficiency of state-owned enterprises and also target mitigating measures to protect the poor from price increases. We have had a robust program in terms of social cash transfers, which have been upscaled, I think, in the history of this country. I think this is the largest upscale in social cash transfers. And also we recommended depoliticizing energy pricing by granting price setting powers to the Energy Regulation Board. So we believed and still do that learning from other countries is key to delivering successful reforms and avoiding the pitfalls that have prevented tariff increases in the past. You will note that between 1998 and 2014, only about 25% of applications were granted for full price increments by ZESCO. So a comprehensive strategy, of course, is required in addressing each of the issues that I've raised. And going forward, I think it's important that we begin to make progress in that respect.
I'm still talking to Mr. Akawondo Kavitani, Head of Monitoring and Evaluation from Policy Monitoring and Research Center on the PMRC corner on ZNBC Radio 4, and I continue to be your host. My name is Kachana. Now, there are indeed perceptions that Zambia's largest power utility firm, ZESCO, is inefficient and also failing to deliver according to expectations. What is your view, and how can perceptions of corruption in this sector be reduced?
Well, as PMRC, I think we believe that improving efficiency of state-owned enterprises, not just ZESCO, is, I think, key in delivering according to expectations. And so even in our earlier document, when we did rigorous research on energy reform, I think the issue of efficiency of state-owned enterprises, I think, was very prominent. We talked about improving the efficiency of state-owned enterprises so that we reduce the burden on national budget. As you can see, that efficiency can strengthen financial positions of enterprises and reduce the need for government support. And, of course, our country experiences did highlight the importance of strengthening governance in state-owned enterprises and improving demand management and revenue collection. So when we look at governance of SOE or state-owned enterprises, you can see that we can strengthen this by improving the reporting of information on operations and costs to help identify system inefficiencies, such as major distribution line losses and other issues. And countries that have adopted information systems, I think we had spoken about countries like Kenya, Uganda, and Zambia as well, which is, you know, consistent with the code of good practices on fiscal transparency. It has to fall within this space, and this should be the starting point, I think, for us to start to curb issues of corruption. And when we look at our state-owned enterprise, of course, there are small steps, I think, that we can take that can help us to identify where the challenges are, design a monitoring and evaluation mechanism within the institution that can monitor progress on exactly where the bottlenecks are and how we can help to unplug some of these challenges and thereby provide a better service for our people.
All right, it is the PMRC corner for today, and it is Thursday, the 5th of April, 2018. We still have in the studio head of monitoring and evaluation from PMRC, Mr. Akabondo Kavichani. Do you now think there is, you know, room to improve, okay, the performance of the electricity sector in Zambia and, of course, the sub-Saharan Africa?
Well, if you look at the history of reform in the electricity sector, not only in Zambia but sub-Saharan Africa, you see that efforts to make improvements have been a long-standing agenda dating back to the 90s. If you look at the time, of course, in most African countries, we had state-owned and run parastatals, and these have been in the past characterized by low levels of access and reliable service, high energy losses, capacity shortfalls, heavily subsidized pricing structures, poor performance in terms of finances, of utilities, and a lack of resources to improve and extend services. When you talk about lack of resources to improve and extend services, Zambia features prominently. In the past, we've had low tariffs. We've had situations where we've not adequately covered, I think, rural areas in terms of electricity coverage. So the earlier approaches by the World Bank and other agencies, I think, was an attempt to implement a set of standards, or so to say, textbook reforms based on economic theory and experience in countries such as Chile and the UK. So when you look at the key elements that were involved in trying to achieve this, you talk about corporatization of parastatal utilities, unbundling of generation, transmission, distribution and supply, introducing competition to wholesale generation and supply, establishing an independent regulatory authority, horizontal separation of incumbents to create viable supply by breaking up state monopoly into several companies, as well as privatization. But if you look at subsequent experience from reform efforts, it has led, I think, to two broad conclusions. Firstly, we look at reforms which have proceeded more slowly than anticipated, and in most cases remain only partial. So The case of sub-Saharan Africa, while many countries have opened up space for investment by the private sector, IPPs or independent power producers, most have not privatized, unbundled fully, or introduced wholesale retail competition. And the numbers there, of course, are very evident, I think, from evidence of 2014, when I think such a survey was conducted. You would see that out of 48 sub-Saharan countries, 21 had state-owned vertically integrated utilities with no private sector participation, while about 14 had vertically integrated state-owned utilities but had introduced independent power producers. While a smaller group, of course, have unbundled to a certain extent, but they have not introduced IPPs. So many have created regulatory authorities, including Zambia, which has an energy regulation board. But in most cases, these are not, of course, fully independent of government. And this, again, takes me back to one of the key recommendations that we had highlighted in depoliticizing price settings when embarking on tariff reform. So secondly, you look at reforms which have not, of course, always had the expected effect. While some reforms have, in some cases, led to improved capacity expansion and utilization, expanded access and reserve margins, you know, they have not done so in all cases, and in many cases prices have increased and well, they have become more cost reflective. There's some evidence that points to the fact that increasing competition has had a more positive effect than privatization or introducing regulation. However, some systems that are too small for viable competition in the power markets, of course, have challenges. So going forward, there was, I think, a reassessment by the World Bank in the mid-2000s to introduce a more nuanced approach to power sector reform, and based on acceptance that the hybrid model with public and private actors coexisting in generation has become widely established. So we feel that reforms need to be designed to suit specific conditions of countries, while paying more attention to technical characteristics of system institutional capacities, as well as the transactional costs of reform. For example, if you are looking at the case of unbundling, which is strongest in large power systems in countries with relatively strong institutions, there's an acceptance that, you know, big bang power sector reform rarely works, and that a sequenced approach that needs patience while maintaining momentum is more realistic. So coming back to Zambia, and more recently, you see that attention has turned away from particular kinds of restructuring to focus on conditions needed for increased investment. This is very applicable to Zambia, particularly for two reasons. One, the country is facing a growing structural capacity deficit, of course exacerbated by low rain for years. You remember that in 2014, 2015, we had challenges with rainfall patterns which affected our hydropower. And secondly, because electricity prices have recently been increased with the tariff reform, so to maintain reform momentum, a benefit in terms of greater reliability is needed. We need to have a much more reliable power sector in the country. So for both these reasons, an increase in capacity, especially on non-hydro capacity, is the next obvious step for reform. Zambia depends on hydro power, I think almost 99% is hydro. And I think this puts us at a greater risk in terms of electricity supply. So we need to start to move away to non-hydro capacity and see how best we can integrate this in the whole schematic of things, because, of course, we have limited access to resources for investment by the state. This means that we need to bring in a greater involvement of independent power producers so that we are able to succeed.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Kabondo, for sparing time to come and shed more light on what we have been talking about on the PMRC corner today. If there's anything else you can actually say as we close up. If nothing, then we call it a day, do we?
No, we don't call it a day yet.
Okay.
Thank you to our listeners. Of course, if they require more information on what we are doing, they can always visit our website, www.pmrczambia.com, as well as visit our office on 36C, Sabre Road, Kablonga. We have a Facebook page, PMRC Zambia, where I think we post most of our materials and other social media platforms which where we can interact.
All right. That has been Mr. Kabondo Kabetani, Head of Monitoring and Evaluation on today's AMRC Corner, and I have been your host. Do make a date with us again next time. For now, we are done. Thank you so much for listening in, and Mr. Kabetani, go well, and thanks a lot for coming through.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.